there is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination. It is an area which we call the Twilight Zone.
A man and woman embrace in front of a wrought iron fence.
Oh, my darling.
Tony, now you're going. And I shall have a memory of you for my eyes, thoughts of you for my mind, and the touch of you for all of me. I'll never forget you.
Picture of a woman looking at a picture. Movie grade of another time. Once brilliant star in a firmament no longer a part of the sky. Eclipsed by the movement of earth and time. Barbara Jean Trenton, whose world is a projection room, whose dreams are made out of celluloid. Barbara Jean Trenton, struck down by hit-and-run years, and lying on the unhappy pavement, trying desperately to get the license number of fleeting fame.
She sits in a stuffed armchair next to a table with a movie projector. In the entrance hall of her palatial residence, the woman descends a staircase and carries a tea tray. She walks across the entrance hall towards a pair of tall, ornate doors.
Miss Trenton?
She enters the darkened screening room.
Miss Trenton?
The stuffed armchair is empty.
Miss Trenton!
Miss Trenton emerges from behind the movie screen.
What is it, Sally?
I brought you a snack, Miss Trenton.
Thank you. Just put it down there.
Yes, ma'am.
Sally puts the tray on a coffee table, then backs away to the door and exits the screening room. Sally heads across the entrance hall to the front door.
Hello, Sally.
Hello.
Is Miss Trenton in?
Yes, sir.
In there for a change?
Yes, sir. Mr. Wise, I'm very worried about her. I'm worried about her.
I'll talk to her.
You don't understand, Mr. Wise. It's getting much worse.
Well, she's been in there too much. I think it's beginning to disturb you, too. I'll see what I can do.
He enters the screening room. Miss Trenton is in the armchair. On the screen, words appear, the end. She turns on the lights.
Daniel, fix yourself a drink.
It's 11 in the morning.
So it's 11 in the morning.
So it's 11 in the morning, and the sun is out.
He opens the drapes.
That's a beautiful day in Beverly Hills.
She squints.
No smog. It's 84 degrees, and it is lovely.
I wonder what I'd do without your daily weather reports.
Question is, Barbara, what do you do with them? You sit here in this air-conditioned cave showing one picture after another.
Let's skip it.
Bobby, it's no good, honey. None of this is any good.
Look, if you won't fix yourself a drink, sit down and be quiet, will you? You know something, Daniel? You have a habit of looking poised, ready to spring.
What was the picture?
Two of them. A Farewell Without Tears.
Co-starring Jerry Herndon.
Not co-starring, darling. He was my leading man.
1933.
And A Night in Paris.
1934.
I know it was 1934. What are you now, Daniel? Father Time?
Carrying her drink, she heads for the door.
Bobby.
Look, I failed to mention this before. I hate clinical tiptoeing. You don't like what I do, don't knock what I do.
Bobby, I have to knock what you do, and I have to get clinical when I see you bottle yourself in this room and stop the clock. You put it back 15, 20, 25 years. You do this every day. Now, honey, that's sick. That is really sick.
Is that all?
Taking a swig.
No, it isn't. I've set up an appointment for you today over at International.
She turns around and her face brightens.
At International?
Yes.
Part, Danny?
Sounds like a good one, too.
Well, oh, darling.
Putting her arm around
You know something? I never did get along with Marty Saul when I was under contract there.
Well, he's much older now. I think you'll find that he's mellow.
Into another room.
Oh, you know, he said I was the most difficult star he'd ever worked with. Danny, you're a nice guy and a loyal friend. And in my selfish, devious way, I'm very much in love with you. Oh, Danny, I hope it's a musical. Oh, I'd love to dance again.
Twirling.
Or a love story.
Pointing.
Oh, I'd give anything to play love scenes like I saw this morning.
At a wall of photographs.
Scenes with Jerry Hearn. And you know, we did three pictures together. I have a memory of you for my eyes, thoughts of you for my mind, and the touch of you for all of me. Oh, something like that. And then we did a night in Paris together.
Barbara, you were much younger then.
Go to the devil.
Now, Barbara, honey, this is 1959. It's 25 years from night in Paris, and 26 years since you made Farewell Without Tears. That room across the hall is dark, it's damp, it's full of cobwebs. Now, come on, honey, snap out of it. Snap out of this kick. You get your war paint on, and I'll meet you over at Saul's office at 3 o'clock, okay?
Okay, Danny.
In a large office.
Send them in.
Barbara and Danny enter, her head covered by a veil adorned with large flowers.
Nice to see you again, Barbara.
Hello, Marty.
It's been a long time.
Yes.
Sit down.
You know Danny, of course.
Yes. He's told you about the part?
Well, not exactly.
Marty gets up.
I think it fits you. It's not a big part, but I think it'll be a nice showcase for you.
Facing her.
Not big, but a nice showcase. Oh, come on, be more specific. You of all people, Marty, should know what I demand in a part.
Marty looks over at Danny.
Why is it we always seem to fight, Barbara? Doesn't that always seem to be the case? We begin by fighting.
I'm still waiting to hear about the part.
Raise the veil.
She uncovers her face. He nods his head.
You play a mother.
Her face falls into a scowl.
How old a mother?
40-ish, but very vibrant, very much alive.
She gets up and approaches him.
As opposed to what? A corpse? I don't play mothers, Mr. Saul. I never have, and I won't start now. I also don't take bit roles. And you should know that. Come on, Danny, let's go.
Walking away.
I'm sorry, Barbara. I didn't know you were still so particular.
Well, now you
do. Lowering the veil.
At least I would think you'd look at the part.
It'd be a sheer waste of my time.
Barbara, maybe we should get the script, look at it, see what it's all about.
You look at it and see what it's all about, and you play the part. I never did like this tasteless, crude man when I was under contract here. And I don't like him any more now. When he offers me fast bit parts.
All right, Miss Prima Donna. You I got news for. You may think you're still the number one lady on the top of the heap, but you got it wrong. You're just an aging broad with a scrapbook.
Look, Marty.
And any part you get at this studio won't have to go through an agent. We can set it up through the community chest because it'll be charity.
She walks out. Danny looks at Marty.
Saul, remind me someday when you've gone over the hill and you're down on your hands and knees, remind me to give you a swift kick in the teeth so that you know exactly how it feels.
Back at home. Danny follows her inside.
Barbie.
She stands with her back towards him.
What?
You were right about him. He's a petty little man. Mean temper and a dirty mouth. You shouldn't pay any attention to him.
You talking about Marty Saul?
Yes.
He doesn't exist. That studio doesn't exist. Not anymore. Not the way it is now. This is the world, Dan, right in here. From now on, I keep the drapes drawn and doors locked. I don't want any of the outside world coming in. Not the Marty Sauls or the movies without sentiment. Actors in undershirts, rock and roll, jukeboxes. Not any of it.
Barbara, whether you like it or not, that's the way things are. That's the way it is. What do? Barbara, shut your eyes, say it doesn't exist because you can't see it?
Doesn't have to exist if I shut my eyes. If I shut my eyes, it all disappears. If I wish hard enough, I can wish it all away. As of this moment, right now, Danny, these are the 1930s again, with all the charm and romance, all the gaiety. That was a carefree world, Danny, and I'm going to make it that way again.
Can't.
Grabbing her arms.
It's nostalgic, it's nice, but it's not true, it's phony.
It doesn't have to be phony. If I wish hard enough, it doesn't have to be phony. Darling, we'll give a party. We'll invite all my friends. You tell them I'm still here, or what it's like here. Tell Jerry Herndon, Steve Black, Paul Nader. Tell them, Danny.
Barbara, this is ridiculous. Have you forgotten? Paul Nader's been dead for 5 years. Jerry Herndon lives in Chicago. Steve Black hasn't been around for 15 years. And if I could get them, what kind of a party do you think I can invite them here? Don't you understand what you're doing? You've built yourself a graveyard here. You keep wishing for things that are dead.
He heads for the front door and goes out. She goes to the door and locks it. In the screening room.
All for you, with love from me.
She watches herself on the screen. On screen, Barbara preens, patting her hair, and off screen, Barbara echoes the gesture. In the entrance hall, Sally opens the front door. Danny enters.
Sally, is she all right?
I wish I could tell you, Mr. Weiss. But I don't see her anymore. Sometimes her bed's not even slept in. She just stays in that room all the time, day and night. And a couple of times when I've gone in there, I tell you, Mr. Weiss, I don't want you to think I've gone out of my mind or something, but I swear to you, I see her up on that screen.
Sally, don't, please. Don't upset yourself. There'll be a gentleman by in a little while, a Mr. Herndon.
Jerry Herndon?
That's right.
Who played opposite Miss Trenton?
That's right. He's in town on a business trip, and I thought it might be good for her to see him. Now, you take him into the study when he comes, all right?
Back to the screen.
Barbara, it's me, Danny. Can I come in, please?
Danny, please go away.
Oh, Barbara, please. I've got something important to tell you.
She puts down her drink, turns off the projector, and goes to the door.
What's the matter? Don't like the merchandise?
Oh, the merchandise is beautiful, but looks a little tired. Looks like it hasn't slept in a couple of weeks. And it looks like it could use some fresh air and sun.
It's quite happy. Thank you for the weather report, and the door's the same one you came in.
A friend's coming to see you today.
Friend? Oh, I thought all my friends were dead, retired, or forgotten. You told me that yourself.
Ah, but this one's an old friend. He's in town, and he'd love to see you.
I'll tell him I'm not receiving this year.
Retreating behind the door.
It's Jerry Herndon, Barbara.
Jerry?
Opening the door again.
Jerry? Where is he?
Well, he's in town on business. I happened to meet him at the hotel. He asked about you, asked if he could come to see you, and I took the liberty.
Oh, I must look awful. Oh, darling, when he gets here, take him into the study. I've got to do my face, change.
He'd love you if you came down in sackcloth, but go ahead.
I'll hurry.
She runs off. Later, she returns in an exquisite evening gown to the entrance hall, where Danny stands with a middle-aged man wearing glasses.
It's been a long time, Barbara Jean. A lot of water over the dam.
Yes. Isn't it odd we always picture people the way they were? Never as they really are. Funny. I thought you'd be in here in an officer's uniform. Or white tie, tails, with a champagne glass. That's how I thought you'd be.
That was 20 years ago.
I even had some crazy idea that we'd do another picture together again.
No, Barbie, I gave that up long ago. That went down the drain with my youth.
You don't act anymore?
He shakes his head.
What do you do?
I run a string of supermarkets outside of Chicago.
String of supermarkets?
Mm-hmm.
Outside of Chicago. That's nice.
She walks past him to the photo gallery on the wall.
He's the one I expected. He's the one I wanted to have come and see me. But he's dead now. Dead like all the others.
Barbie. Barbie, please.
Go away, both of you. Please go away. Go away.
She turns toward the photos. Jerry walks toward her, puts his hands on her shoulders.
Goodbye, Barbara Jean.
She recoils from his touch.
Goodbye, my dear.
He turns and walks away. She continues to face the wall. Danny follows Jerry out, stops, turns around to look at her, then continues out. She walks out of the study. Crosses the entrance hall. Back into the dark screening room. Into the armchair. Restarts the projector. On screen, the younger Jerry and the younger Barbara set aside their drinks for a kiss. Off screen, Barbara gets up from the armchair.
There you are, Jerry.
And slowly walks toward the screen.
There you are. You look so young. So wonderfully young. There was a strange old man here a while ago who said he was you. Jerry, I wish I could be there with you. I wish I could be up there with you. I wish.
Oh, holding her hand beside her face. Sally with the tea tray.
Miss Trenton! I brought you a little snack, dear. Wouldn't you like some coffee?
She enters. The armchair is empty. She looks around the room. The sofa is empty. She drops the tea tray. In the entrance hall, she lets Danny in. He heads over to the screening room. The door is open, the lights are on, the projector stopped.
Who shut it off?
I did. An hour ago. And then I called you.
Have you looked in her room?
That's the first place I checked. Then I went to every room in the house. She's not here.
Danny sits down in the armchair.
She's not here. At least not in the way that... She's not here the way you and I are.
He turns off the light.
You gonna run it, Mr. Weiss?
Yes, Sally. I'm gonna run it.
On screen, doors open like those on the screening room. Danny stands up, still staring at the screen. He shakes his head. On screen, a parade of costumed characters passes through what appears to be the entrance hall of her house. They wait at the bottom of the stairs as Barbara descends toward them.
Darling, is it so good to see you? We're all having dinner by the pool. Please, everyone outside. Oh, Steve, Paul, Jared.
She takes the hand of the costumed younger Jerry.
Barbie! Please, come back, Barbara!
On screen, she turns her head.
Barbie, it's me, Danny!
Walks in his direction. Smiles. Blows a kiss. Tosses a scarf on the floor.
Barbie, come back!
Arm in arm
Please,
with Jerry,
Barbie.
They exit.
Barbie! Come back, Barbie!
It's the end of the reel. Jerry sinks down into the armchair. Sally, holding her hands astride her head, walks out. Jerry gets up, turns the projector off. Slowly walks out, looks at the empty entrance hall, turns back to look at the screening room. Walks into the entrance hall. On the floor, the scarf. He picks it up. Holds it to his face. Looks around. Cracks a smile.
To wishes, Barbie. To the ones that come true. To the wishes that come true. To the strange mystic strength of the human animal who can take a wishful dream and give it a dimension of its own. To Barbara Jean Trenton, movie queen of another era, who has changed the blank tomb of an empty projection screen into a private world. It can happen in the Twilight Zone.
Credits. Directed by Mitchell Lyson. Written and narrated by Rod Serling. Produced by Buck Houghton. Executive producer for Cayuga Productions, Rod Serling. Starring Ida Lupino, with Martin Balsam, Jerome Cohen, Ted DeCorsia, Alice Frost. Music composed and conducted by Franz Waxman. Director of Photography, George T. Clemens. Production Manager, Ralph W. Nelson. Art Directors, George W. Davis, William Ferrari. Film Editor, Bill Mosher. Assistant Director, Edward Denault. Set Decorations, Henry Grace, Rudy Butler. Casting Director, Mildred Goose. Sound, Frank Milton, Gene Valentino. Animated title by UPA. Copyright 1959, Cayuga Productions, Inc. Filmed at Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Studios. Audio description by Lou Lasher.